Father, we are so thankful that you are our God, the one, true, only living God, and that you gave our Son as a sacrifice for our sins, that he did die, that he was buried, that he did rise again, ascended to be with you, interceding for us until the appointed time when he comes to take us home also. So, Father, for those who are hurting, for those who are sick, for those who are recovering from surgery, for those who are facing surgery, Father, for the world, for conflict, for chaos, for everything that is around us that could possibly discourage us, thank you that we have a hope that transcends it all. We ask all of this so that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may be glorified. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. This morning's message will be out of John chapter 6, the ultimate storm shelter. And there is a title on there because in Matthew and Mark's account, I just couldn't resist this. What did they say when they seen Jesus coming on the water? Do you remember? It might be a ghost. Well, that ain't no ghost, Buster. JD, I'm dying. Jesus has just miraculously fed the multitudes. Mark tells us that he taught them many things. The Lord referred to them, the people, the multitudes there, that they were sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. But then he has to leave them because they still do not understand who he was and why he had come. They enjoyed the bread and the fish, but it's about to get tough. After this event that we're going to look at here this morning, Jesus will not only, we'll see Jesus leaving the multitudes today. In a very short time, the multitudes are going to leave him. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The people wanted a king. They wanted a political ruler, a conqueror, one who would relieve them, release them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. And Jesus said, I came for a greater purpose than political freedom. I come to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So now Jesus will leave these multitudes. And this is where we're going to pick up in the text today. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 6, we'll begin with verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Miracle 2. Of the same account. Father, we pray that this word was read in a way that would honor you, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will now take this word, transform our hearts by it, draw us closer to you, and mold us more into the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please be seated. There is a story told of a ship that was sinking. It was in the middle of a horrible, horrible storm. The captain and crew were in peril of imminent danger. Death was upon them. There was no possible way that they were going to survive this storm. And so the captain made his last appeal. He said, "Does anyone here know how to pray?" And one man stepped forward and said, "Yes, sir, I know how to pray." And the captain said, "Wonderful. You pray while the rest of us put on our life jackets. We're one short."
Okay. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We're all sinking without a life jacket, without the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sunk. No hope. Except Christ came to our rescue. He came to our rescue. Storms, nature's fury, and life challenges, both will come. Not if, but when. What do you do? Do you have a plan? We do tornado drills. We do fire drills. We establish escape routes, even in our homes, in case of a fire or catastrophic event. We know where to seek shelter in times of storm of the climate nature. The goal is to find safety, to find security, find protection. When darkness overwhelms you and you feel deserted, imminent sense of danger, desperation, look up. Look up. Jesus is out for a stroll on the waves, and he's headed your way. Thank Almighty God. You look at what he did there, has done in history. Remember, he was the one that divided the waters of the Red Sea so that the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation, could pass over on dry land. He was the one who pushed back the flooding waters of the Jordan so that his people could walk into the promised land. And now the Lord of all creation doesn't even mess with dividing the waters. He just simply walks on top of them. He walks and he commands the wind and the waves. Storms and trouble, concern, trial, chaos, sickness, disease, death. Look up. Jesus is on the water, walking your way. I will once again pull from two other gospel accounts, Matthew and Mark, to get the full impact and teaching of the principles of this miraculous event. But we are going to begin with verse 16 and 17 in John's gospel, and we are going to examine the point we are governed by his providence. This is our hope. These are the promises that we have out of Scripture, that we are governed by his providence. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. But Matthew tells us, chapter 14, verse 22, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Mark tells us, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowds. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, and I know this may not be the most popular thing I'll say this morning, but sometimes God puts us in the storm. Look out. Sometimes he puts us in the storm. And I think this is a perfect illustration of that truth. Sometimes we're in a storm because we're out of the will of God. Jonah, out of the will of God, ended up in a storm. Sometimes we can be in the will of God, and that's why we're in the storm. Listen, please listen. There are storms of correction, and there are storms of perfection. Storms of correction were needed in cases like Jonah. He needed some life-altering correction. Sometimes, as in the situation with the disciples, it is a storm of perfection, drawing them closer to Christ, drawing them in to a stronger, more foundational faith and trust. Jesus had tested them earlier. In Matthew 8, we get this record. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. In this account of another trip, and a scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air above have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, let him first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when they got into the boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, and that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Now listen, I want us to examine that or consider that for just a moment, and I'm going to ask you a question, and please do not, this is a heart response, not a verbal. Have you ever thought maybe Jesus was sleeping through your storm? I know it's not true. Now we see him asleep. Well, I shouldn't say that's not true. He's never unaware. He's never unaware. And so they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" Brothers and sisters, friends, I'm going to tell you, there have been a few times in my life where I woke up God. Or at least I thought I did. I wondered where he was. I wondered if possibly he wasn't fully aware of the desperate state of my situation. And I called upon him in the darkness and I said, "Lord, will you please rise to the occasion? I'm in trouble here." But if we go back in this passage to where I first started, he gave orders to go over to the other side. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was already there. He gave orders to go to the other side. That means they're going to make it to the other side. They're going to make it. But has it ever seemed that he was sleeping? Did he ever seem distant, like maybe he was in today's account? I tell you that he is never unaware of our circumstance. Once again in Matthew 8, he put them into the storm, but already proclaimed they're going to the other side. The Lord has a plan. The Lord has made a promise. Believers, he will get us to the other side. Amen. We will arrive home safely. We will endure the storm. He may not take us out of the storm, but he will certainly sail through it with us. That's the faithfulness of our God. Second point, there will always be growth in his plans. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. Mark says the wind was against them. Remember, there's some experienced fishermen, sailors in this boat. Matthew says they were a long way from shore, beaten by the waves. This is where we make a choice, right here. This is decision time. Do I row harder or do I trust more? I know. Let's row harder. Let's row harder. Now, I would venture to say that this is not the first time some of these men have been in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure they had been in storms before, but this one seems particularly tough. The wind was against them. The waves were rising around them. They are 3 to 4 miles from shore. What is our first response? I'd like to do a survey, but I'm not going to do it. Too often, mine is row just a little bit harder instead of throwing the oars away. Maybe you can relate to that. But what is Jesus doing? I love this. What is Jesus doing in this circumstance? He's not sleeping in the boat. He's not resting. He's on the mountainside praying. He's praying. Dear Lord, think of that. And picture that as the church. As the church, we are the vessel on the raging seas right now. This sea of counterculture, this sea of antagonism, this sea of hatred, this sea of violence, this sea of resistance, this sea of war and famine and disease, this sea of chaos all around us, and Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying for us. How cool is that? Same as he's doing here. He's praying and he's watching. He knows exactly where they're at. He knows exactly what kind of a situation they're in, and he's about to take action. He knows where you're at this morning, brothers and sisters. Friends, he sees your struggles. If you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, he has determined your destination. So when the storms come, put down those roots of faith deep into a faithful God. And hang on, here he comes. Here he comes. Matthew gives us an account of Peter's growing faith. Lord, if you command me to come to you on the water. Now, everybody remembers Peter sinking, right? They remember he gets out of the boat, he starts walking toward Jesus, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus for just a moment, and this, unfortunately, is where a lot of people remember. We're really good at remembering people's failures. But as I recall, Peter was the only one that had guts enough to get out of the boat in the first place. What were the other 11 doing? We need to be careful, don't we? Number three, we will be sustained by his prayers and his presence. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. We know that Jesus had been alone on the mountainside. We know that all this time he had been praying and watching. Matthew tells us, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Mark again adds to this, and after he had taken leave of them, he went on the mountain to pray, and when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And listen, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Our Lord is interceding. He is an all-seeing, ever-present Savior. I beseech you, trust him today. Trust him today. The entire scene is that dramatic picture that I just described of the church and our Lord today. God's people are on a set course through the sea of life, and many times we find ourselves in the middle of the storm. Yet Jesus, not on the mountainside, but seated at the right hand of God in glory, is praying for us and watching us right now. And he knows you by name. He knows where you're at. And more importantly, we're not talking obviously about a physical location or maybe even a physical issue, whether it be illness or struggle, mental or emotional. He is the only one that truly knows the condition of our hearts. The condition of our hearts. Jesus is praying for us. He knows where we're at. He sees our struggles. He knows our fears. He has promised us safe arrival, and he will be with us for the journey. Point number four. We will overcome by his power and through his purposes. But he said to them, "It is I. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Our storms are never incidental or accidental. Our storms never catch Jesus unaware or unprepared. Our storms can never overwhelm us or overtake us. Disciples are terrified. First, the storm, now a ghost. And yet, Jesus asserts his power and authority simply by identifying himself. He said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." The Lord of all creation, the giver and sustainer of all life, the guardian of our souls has arrived, simply walks up to the boat and says, "Boys, can I hitch a ride? I'm going to the other side, and I'd like to take you with me." How many of you have heard that call? How many of you have heard that voice? Remember Paul on the road to Damascus when he was struck to his knees, and he knew exactly who was speaking to him. And it changed old Saul of Tarsus into Paul the Apostle. Jesus always comes to us in the storms of life. The prophet Isaiah said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." He may not come at the time we think he should, because he knows when we need him the most. He waited until the ship was far from land, so that all human hope was gone. He was testing the disciples' faith, and this meant removing every human prop that could possibly save them. And that's where God says, "Hang on. Hang on. It's going to be okay." Have you ever heard that voice in the middle of the night? "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Do not be afraid. Peace. Peace. Be at peace. Don't be terrified. It is I." Why did Jesus walk on the water? To show his disciples the very thing they feared the most. The sea was only a staircase for him to come on. The very thing that the disciples seen as their destruction, Jesus said, "I'm going to put it under my feet. I'm going to walk on top of this thing that terrorizes you the most." Often we fear the difficult experiences of life, surgery, bereavement, only discover that these experiences bring Jesus Christ closer and us closer to him. Why didn't they recognize Jesus? Because they weren't looking for him. That's my only answer. They weren't looking for him. Has he ever dropped in on you like that? I keep asking these questions. It's just for us to consider. It's our own time of reflection, internal. Has he ever showed up unexpectedly and in unexpected ways? I don't think they were looking for him at all. He had them waiting by faith. Instead, they jumped to a false conclusion that the appearance was that of a ghost. And I present to you today that fear and faith cannot survive long in the same heart. It's just too great of conflict. And lack of fear, doesn't mean that we're going to get all the facts up front. Fear always blinds our eyes to the presence of the Lord. Are you fighting a storm this morning? Have you determined that the best course of action is to just row a little bit harder? to row against the opposing wind and waves? Or are you ready and willing to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your deliverance and your life? Many will choose to fight the storm instead of trusting the Savior. And if you've never trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life, your boat is already sunk. But He can change that. He can change that. If you're a believer today, sit back and enjoy the cruise. Leave everything else up to the captain of our souls. He's going to the other side. Where are you going? Where are you going? You know, I've shared my testimony many times in bits and pieces. I don't know if I've ever put it all together in one string or not. But I can tell you this. If you are like me, and that's always a dangerous route to take, but just for the sake of this example, I thought I could pretty well handle things. Pretty doggone sure I could. I thought I could handle things. That's the greatest level of deception you can live in. Anybody who thinks they can handle it is on the edge of a fall. Our victory comes when we surrender. That's foreign. That's foreign to the normal thought. Now I don't have to handle it. He does. He does. I've been in storms of correction. I've been in storms of perfection. And by the way, I didn't particularly care for either one of them at the time. Right? But I know a God that's going to get me to the other side. He's going to get me to the other side. And He'll get you there too. If you just let Him. Father, thank You for this time we've had this morning. Thank You for the Word. Powerful. Powerful. Brings back a lot of memories. When I have looked for You in the middle of the night. When I didn't even know You were there. When I thought You had forgotten me. And You were unaware. Father, we're a long ways from perfect in this old life. And we'll all be a long ways from perfect until Jesus comes. But I'm going to put my faith in the perfect Savior. And let Him make up the difference. Thank You for being so faithful. So faithful. To all of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for our song of invitation. This is a moment when we really reflect, kind of an introspection. Ask the Holy Spirit to just check things out this morning. It's a good process for all of us. A little spiritual checkup. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us places where we may be rowing against the wind, fighting the waves. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us our areas of struggle. Maybe it's a storm of perfection and we're struggling with something in our life. Ask the Holy Spirit to say, is this Your will? Is this Your purpose in this particular event in my life, in this struggle, in this battle? Is this Your way of saying, draw closer, draw closer? I'm right next to the boat. Invite me in. Whatever your need is, I'll guarantee you, He can meet it. But it'll be on His terms and in His way.